Welcome to Coffee and Jesus. I'm your host, Jael Penn, coming to you from the great state of Texas. Today's story and lesson is about Gideon, which you can find in Judges chapter 6 and 7. During this time, Joshua had led the people into the promised land, and for a while, things were going well, and they were following God and doing what they needed to do. But like most children, at some point they began to digress and fall into sin. And so the Lord allowed the Israelites to fall under oppression for 7 years at the hands of the Midianites. Now, the Midianites, these were some bad dudes. The Crips, the Bloods, these modern day gangs, these crazy revolutionaries in Africa and Ireland and in the Middle East, they have nothing on the Midianites. These were the worst people ever. They could care less about women, children. They worship themselves. That ought to tell you something. Now, during this time, there was a young man named Gideon. And Gideon's father was an idolater. That means that he worshipped idol gods, Baal. Gideon was a common man, a young man, and pretty shy and introverted. He was rather reluctant to accept God's challenge as we start looking at chapter 6. So basically, this is the craziest story. I love it so much. So basically, this story starts out by proclaiming that the Lord was angry with the Israelites for falling into sin again and worshiping false gods. And because of this, like I said, he let them fall into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. Finally fed up, the Israelites called out to God for help. And God is going to send help through this young man called Gideon. Now, he was threshing wheat, and an angel appeared before Gideon saying, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon's like, "Who are you talking to?" Okay, first of all, I'm not a warrior. Have you looked at me? Like, look at my size. And second of all, I don't know if I'm hallucinating, if I've fallen asleep out here in the field or what. The angel then proceeds to tell Gideon that he will deliver the Israelites from the Midianites, to which point Gideon says that he is just a small young man, a child, and, you know, what can he do? And then he's like, you know, I don't even know if I'm talking to an angel or not, if you're from God, I don't know what this is. So Gideon then asks the angel for a sign to prove that he is really speaking with God. He leaves and returns with an offering of food. And the angel spontaneously combusts the food, y'all. Like, poof, just burns it up. And Gideon's like, okay, you know, like, okay. So you are who you say you are. That was a bit extreme, but thank you for the answer. I have my answer now. Y'all, this is the craziest story ever. And I love it so much. So the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon. And it's just, you know, like I just told you. Gideon questions how God could be with them when they were suffering so. So even though he knows now that the angel really is an angel and that he is a representative of God, he still doesn't get it, because why did God let them suffer for 7 years? Why in the world would he do that? So now Gideon's about to be tested. So if you're reading later on, read Judges 6, 25 to 32. He stood up to the enemies of God, Gideon, and including his own family, and tore down the altar of Baal. Now, this is a big deal because, as I said earlier, his father worships Baal. So that night, the Lord tells Gideon to destroy one of his father's altars to an idol Baal and replace it with an altar to God and sacrifice a bull on it. And Gideon obeys. He does it at night. He does it because he's scared and he doesn't want to get caught. Excuse me. The townspeople find out Gideon did this and they demand his execution. But Gideon's father is like, hold up, hold up. That's my boy. And if Baal really was God, then he would have been able to defend himself, and he didn't. So now we're getting a glimpse of maybe Gideon's father might get saved through all of this and change also. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites gathered together to attack Israel. An army totaling, are you ready for this? 135,000 men. That's a lot of men, y'all. That's a lot of men. Now, remember, Gideon just threshes wheat. He's a kid. And so he needs some reassurance from God. Okay? So, Gideon asks for a sign from God. He asks God to make the fleece the only wet thing on the ground in the morning when he wakes up. And then he wants the fleece, to be the only dry thing on the ground the morning after that. Now that sounds pretty crazy, right? But God does it because he's God. And he's the God of miracles. He can do anything. And so then Gideon's like, okay. So I know the angel is who they say they are. Now I know you are who you say you are. Okay, so I'm going to believe you. So Gideon assembles about 30,000 men to go to war. Now, I'm not good at math, but 135,000, I know that's a lot more than 30,000. And kind of seems like you would get squashed with that number of men going up against another number of men that small. But here's the thing about God. He's going to take you down to the lowest possible common denominator so that you know when you're victorious, it was him and not you. So in the morning, the Lord tells Gideon he must cut down the size of his army because otherwise the Israelites will not contribute their win to God, but rather to themselves. So Gideon achieves this by asking that any person who is afraid to leave, you need to go ahead and go now. And so 22,000 of the people leave because of this. Okay. And God says, you still got too many. And Gideon's like, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. And so Gideon goes down to the river to see how the men drink. And God instructed Gideon to only keep the people who drank like a dog, like they would lap up the water. Which is a very strange request. I'm telling you, the story is cray cray. And so through all of this, God reduces the number of the army of 32,000 to 300, y'all. Okay, are you with me? The Midianites, these crazy men who do nothing but, they live to kill people. They live to kill people. There's 135,000 of them, okay? And there are 300 men with Gideon. 300. 300. Whew. So Gideon receives some more assurance. God tells him to approach the enemy's camp and hear what they are saying. So now he tells him to go into enemy territory and get close enough to hear their conversation. You can't be far away to hear someone's conversation. And back then they didn't have transmitters and all this technological stuff we have now. Okay, so Gideon hears them tell about a dream that foretold that Gideon would defeat them. that makes Gideon feel a little better. So God has a strategy for Gideon, just like he has a strategy for you and me. Now, God tells Gideon to take a trumpet, a pitcher, and a torch. The trumpet represents the message of God. The pitcher represents service, serving our fellow men. And the torch represents the light, which shows us the way. The enemy was in confusion, and they, I love this story. They began to slay each other, y'all. They killed each other. So you don't even have to do anything sometimes. God will cause your enemy to fall on their own sword. Or like my daddy used to say, the one digging the ditch for you is the one with their foot closest to the grave. Holla. The Lord won for them an amazing victory that day. And there's no way that anybody could ever say it was anything or anybody but God. This story is so awesome because it teaches us a lesson about the nature of man and how that we doubt God when we shouldn't, and how that God is faithful, though, to bring us back into remembrance of his sovereignty and just how awesome he is. So we have to guard against forgetting about the omniscience, the omnipotence, the omnipresence of God. He really is real, y'all. This story also teaches us how God can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. The thing I love the most, though, is God's math, because I hate math. I'm terrible at math. I have dyslexia for math, so it really is difficult for me. But his math I get, because it doesn't matter what the number is. A small number with God can be exponential. It can do exceedingly abundantly above more than you could ever imagine. A small number with God can do so much. So your little seed of faith can do so much. This story also shows us that a lot of times we won't say yes to God unless he gives us a sign or it's proven somehow. And we really don't need to make a fleece with God on every little issue. And sometimes in extraordinary circumstances, I know people do make fleeces, and I'm not knocking that. But if you will just say yes, step out in faith and open the door. What's waiting on the other side is victory. And this crazy story is a testament to that. And I really hope that you will go back and read it, because it truly is a miraculous story. It's just amazing. Be blessed.